Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Spent a lot more time on these first 2 weeks than I wanted to, but we will catch it up and make sure we get through this wonderful account. One of my favorite stories in all of the Bible is the story of Joshua and the walls of Jericho. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5, and then Joshua chapter 6, verse 20. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. That's a good word for somebody. Quit fighting people. Quit fighting people. You don't like the spirit that they're operating under. It's not the person. It's who they pledge their allegiance to. So don't fight them. Fight through God to the source of what's making them act or do what they're doing. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Somebody say not carnal, not physical, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations. Those are those things, those thoughts that would pop up in your brain. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Joshua 6:20, when the trumpet sounded, the army shouted. And at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So everyone charged straight in, and they took the city. Five words. And they took the city. One more time. And they took the city. Wall breakers breaking down strongholds. May be seated. We ended last week talking about the imaginations that Paul declares, and we are commanded to by God through Paul to catch those thoughts, those imaginations, and to cast them down. And I ended talking about that every high thing, this is verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5, that every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, this is where the enemy tips his hand too much. Remember this, the enemy is dumb. A lot of times we give him a lot more credit than he deserves. He is ignorant. He is ignorant to the fact that he never tries anything new. It's just the same old, tired, recycled attack. And it's easy for us on a Sunday, amen, on a Sunday morning to amen that statement. However, I hope you're wearing steel-toe boots this morning. If the devil's that dumb, why does he keep winning battles against believers? If we know he's defeated, and he knows he's defeated, and nothing new is under the sun with the games he plays and the strategies he employs against us, then why are we making the same mistakes over and over and over and over again? And that is why Paul had to remind good church people in Corinth that, hey, those imaginations, those things that you're coming up with in your head, you need to take those thoughts, you need to take those imaginations, and you cast them down. But I love what he said, because we always preach and teach this the wrong way. He says, and everything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Not that exalteth itself against God, but that exalteth itself against what you know about God. He knows he can't take on God. You know why? Because 2,000 years ago, that very God sent his son, came down in human flesh. He lived on this earth for 33 and a half years, perfect walk, perfect talk, was crucified. While he laid in the grave physically and everybody mourned his death, that very same God went down to hell and kicked the devil's tail for 72 hours. Did it take that long to beat him? Of course not. He just really worked him over. He just really reminded him that I win and you lose. That you have never won and will never win. And so the devil knows he can't beat God. So he doesn't even come at God. He comes at us that say we follow God. See, the problem with us is we are taught the vernacular that I've accepted Jesus into my heart. I love that. It's a great sentiment. It's a great way to teach our children that God does reside on the inside of us. But can I tell you something that's greater than getting Jesus in your heart? It's getting the Holy Ghost all over you. It's being washed in the blood of Jesus. Why? Because that way when the devil comes against me, he's not coming against me. He's coming against the blood of Jesus. He's coming against the Spirit of God. He's coming against the anointing. However, if I receive Jesus and then I tuck him in my pocket or put him in my heart, the devil comes against me. And then if I'm not for sure, if my faith is not strong in that moment on what I think about God, then those imaginations come and the walls that are built between me and my destiny or that are stopping me from growing or stopping you from progressing, those walls cannot be torn down. Why? Because we've allowed the devil to set up shop and we have forgotten what we should know about God. That's why VBS is important. That's why Sunday school is important. That's why youth camp is important. I have heard, and listen, I've been a youth pastor now for 18 years. I have heard every excuse in the book as to why people can't bring their kids to church. I have heard every excuse in the book the last 10 days as to why young people can't go to camp. And I am here to tell you, I have yet to hear a good excuse as to why you're not bringing your kids to children's church, Sunday school, youth service, and youth camp. Well, we're doing this. Well, I hope you know that you're teaching them that that is more important than God. And let me tell you something. It's not a matter of if the walls are built. It's a matter someday, at some moment, there's going to be a wall between them and their destiny, and we need to raise up wall breakers from 3 years old to 93 years old. But I'm talking to those of us that maybe we've been robbed of what we know about God. So can I take about 30 seconds and remind you that God is still a good God and only does good things. That he is Jehovah Jireh. He is the God of provision. That he is Jehovah Shalom. He is the God of peace. That he is our healer, the great physician. That he is the rose of Sharon. He is a sure foundation. He is the rock. He is everything that I need. He's a friend that sticks closer than my very own brother. He is a father to the fatherless. He is an ever-present help in the time of trouble. When I was lost, I needed a Savior, and that's what he was. When I was confused, I needed a counselor, and that's what he was. When I didn't know which way to go, he said, I'm the way, and that's what he is. My knowledge of God is what the devil attacks. He attacks us in ways saying, is God still really good? He attacks our knowledge of God by saying things like, does God really still heal? He attacks our knowledge by saying, maybe God's teaching you a lesson. Maybe the reason that your marriage didn't work out is because of some unresolved sin in your life and you're not perfect enough to have a good marriage. And then you start thinking, and then those imaginations run wild. Remember, most of the things that you feared as a child and as an adult, most of those things, even if they were found in a root somewhere in your heart, your imagination built those giants and those walls up bigger than they would have ever built up if you could have just cast down that imagination and said, that's not of God. That doesn't sound like my Jesus. That's not spirit. That's not Holy Ghost. That's not anointing. I know where that comes from. It's a lie from the pit of hell. And so I cast it back down from whence it came. We're talking about wall breakers. The enemy doesn't attack God. He attacks yours and my knowledge of God. Well, I want my son and daughter. I want them to have a good job. I do too, but I want them to go to heaven. Don't hear a lot of this preaching anymore. I want them to be a track star. So do I. I wish they were running in Tokyo in a couple weeks. I do, but I'd rather them walk on streets of gold than run on the clay courts of men. I would rather them make heaven there and not be a millionaire here. If we've got to choose, I'm going to choose heaven over anything. Well, we plan family vacation. I've got good news and bad for you. Most of you know camp was planned long before your vacation. VBS has been on the calendar now for 2 years. We've got these things. You're saying, am I supposed to schedule my... If you love your kids and you care about their anointing, you care about their salvation, you'll move cruises, you'll move trips, you'll move jobs. Nothing is as important as making sure that they can break walls when you turn them loose at 18. I'm looking at parents sitting right here on the front row. They've got a wall breaker in the media booth. They raised a wall breaker, not meaning that they don't help him when he needs it, but they have done enough in him that when a wall comes up in front of Kevin Jr., Kevin Jr. can speak to the wall. Kevin Jr. can shout to the wall. Kevin Jr. can operate in his anointing, not their anointing. We've got to teach our children what it means to be able to come against the adversary when the adversary starts talking questions. And I don't want to get bogged down in this, but we've got an epidemic of confusion in our young people that they don't know if they're man, they don't know if they're woman, they don't know if they like men, they don't know if they like women, and all of that is because there's a devil that is putting up walls saying, I'm going to attack the knowledge of what you think about God, and if I can make you question God, you'll question everything. That's why when I see Eric and Angel Haley sitting here on the second row, they've been coming to church here for 2 years. They're here every Sunday, every Wednesday. They're part of the praise and worship team next door. They're there every Saturday. They're four and five and six years old. They're little kids. They're wall breakers. We're strengthening them now so that when they stand at the University of Texas, and some godless man or woman tells them something that is contrary to the Word of God and the creative God and the God that saved them and the God that loves them, when they stand there, they can say, I'm going to get through this class and I'm going to make an A, but I'm coming out of this with my integrity. I'm coming out of this with my testimony. I'm coming out of this with my anointing. You say you're harping on a lot of things, but if you look beyond that, look to this. There will always be an attack of what you think about God. Just in the last year, is God a man or a woman? Well, I know that Jesus said Father. Everybody's concerned with pronouns. Jesus said Father. But I'm going to tell you this. God the Father, God the Son, then there's our Holy Ghost. There's so many questions. So, well, can we just call God something different? The name of Jesus is the name that every knee will bow to. Jesus said, I am the door. If you want to go through another door, by all means, go through it. But you can't get to him unless you go through me. I would be more concerned with, will I ever meet him, than is God a man or a woman? I just know he's God. I just know he saved me when no one else could. And so I'm sorry if me calling him Father, if me calling him offends you, but you can be offended straight to another place. But at the end of my time on this earth, I'm going to break every wall between me and heaven, and I'm going to stand before Jesus. And when I stand before Jesus, I'm going to hear the most beautiful words I have ever heard. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter in to your rest. Enter in to paradise. Can I encourage somebody today? There are walls standing in between you and your destiny, in between you and heaven. But I've got good news. There is no wall that can be erected that can keep you out of the things of God. There is no wall that can be built between you and your heaven, you and your God. I am looking for some wall breakers that the moment that bricks start stacking up, you're busting them down. As soon as they stack one, you're breaking through it. Not getting very far in this today, but this is the thing. Don't wait till the wall's a wall. Start when the wall's a brick. So how do I know that? Casting down imagination. It's when you get this imagination and you don't cast it down, boom, it's one brick. And when you allow him to question everything and all these thoughts are not taken into captivity, there's another brick. And there's another brick. You know why everyday devotion to God is important? Because every day there's imagination. How many of you have ever wanted to quit? Raise your hand. Just quit. Say, quit what? Just quit. Half of our hands are up, which means one of two things for everybody else that has their hands down. You're either a liar and we're going to pray for you, or we're going to let you teach a seminar on how to go through life with ever wanting to quit. But when I get that quit imagination, sometimes it lasts for 3 seconds, because what do? Cast it down. Sometimes it lasts for 3 minutes. What do? Cast it down. If it hangs on for a day or two, I got to call in some of the Calvary to help me. I got to call some prayer partners. Pastor Mandy, lay your hands on me. Pastor Becky, speak some life in me. Bishop, put some word in me. Somebody get the oil and anoint me. Why? Because I feel like quitting. And I know that quitting is not an option. It's not an option for believers to stand down. It's not an option for believers to sit down. We've got walls to break. Your walls, my walls, their walls were wall breakers. There's a city to be taken. There's a city to be had. Wall breaker. You break a wall, everybody behind you gets to follow you in. The glass ceilings are breaking over believers. There is no ceiling. There is no limit. There is nothing that can stop us. But can I just encourage you that the moment you break through that wall, you are announcing to your family, your generation, and everyone connected to you, there's more. But I love that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. That's why when I'm friends with someone and they start talking crazy, I don't got to tell them off. I just don't answer the phone like I used to. I don't meet with them. Like, why? Because their thoughts become words that create my thoughts, which create words that have an impact on their thoughts, which create what? It's a domino effect. So everything that comes against the knowledge of God, I capture that and I throw it down. Joshua chapter 5, verse 9. This is preceding Joshua chapter 6 for the story of the walls. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I've rolled away the reproach of this place has been called Gilgal to this day. On the evening of the 14th day of the month, while camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, the Israelites celebrated Passover. It was in the middle of celebrating the blood of Jesus that something special and scary happened all in the same moment. 40 years they've been wandering in the wilderness. Every day, manna from heaven, honey bread, in my mind, Cinnamon Toast Crunch raining down from the heavens. Which is why I need to get to the promised land, because I need some milk and honey for the Cinnamon Toast Crunch to complete the meal. Manna falls from heaven. Quail are running around. But the moment that they move into the plains of Jericho and they have crossed the Jordan River. They celebrate the blood of Jesus. And then this is what God says. No more manna, no more quail. That's scary, but for those of us that have faith, we know what it means. I'm not stuck between deliverance and dominion any longer. I'm not going to be eating Cinnamon Toast Crunch for the rest of my life. I'm not going to be chasing these little quail for the rest of my life, but I have arrived to the land which was promised. And when I get to that land, I'm not going to be waiting for it to fall out of heaven. God said everything you need is already in that land. Remember, there are grapes the size of basketballs. It is a land that flows with milk and with honey, meaning everything you need is already there. Can I encourage somebody today that every time we celebrate the blood of Jesus, we kick the devil in the teeth and remind him, I am not who I used to be. I've been brought out of slavery. I've been brought out of bondage. I've crossed the Jordan River into my promised land, and I'm not going to live like I used to be. I'm not going to live with just enough. I've stepped in over the threshold of more than enough, and I know that there's walls in front of me, but if I can cross a river, I can break a wall. If I can live in the wilderness, I can break a wall. If I can cross the Red Sea, I can break a wall. Celebrating, I love this. Celebrating the Passover, I'm almost done. Celebrating the Passover, Joshua chapter 5. They are literally killing the lamb, spreading his, they're celebrating the blood of the lamb. What they're really doing is going back to the lamb. Because the lamb called Jesus had yet to be slain. But here they are in Joshua 5, and they're celebrating the blood of the Lamb. And they might not know his name was Jesus yet. They knew him as Jehovah. And they knew him as once a year, we're going to do this and God's going to show up. And we remember the deliverance. And we remember him keeping our firstborns alive over there in Egypt when we spread the blood. And so every time the blood was applied, they celebrated. And every time, I love this, every time that we as believers remember the blood, every time we celebrate the blood, something brand new is done in our life. The moment that the Passover shows up and they kill a perfect lamb and they put the blood over the doorpost of their tent out in the wilderness and now in the plains of Jericho, God said, hey, Michael, Gabriel, all of heaven, they're celebrating the blood of Jesus. What does that mean? Something brand new is about to break loose in their life. That's why communion is so important, because every time we remember the blood and we celebrate what he did, what he's about to do is introduced to us. A new river, a new stream, a new and living way is introduced to us. Remember me, and I'll remember you in your next. He said, no more man, no more fowl. He said, you're in the land that flows with milk and with honey. The day after the Passover, they ate of the produce of the land, unleavened bread, roasted grain. The manna stopped that day. They ate this food from the land. There was no longer any manna for the Israelites. But that year, they ate the produce of Canaan. Canaan's the promised land. In one 24-hour period, they went from just enough to more than enough. You say, but the walls of Jericho hadn't been torn down yet. Physical walls are the least you have to worry about. We live in a country that will get in fist fights over a border wall. But we got homeless people living in our streets. We got veterans who gave a portion of their life and came back with mental PTSD, came back with physical conditions. And we can't take care of them and the walls that they're dealing with that aren't physical. And we can talk and scream and shout and fight about a physical wall. Can I tell you that the walls of Jericho, that was a day in their life that sounded great. Great visual, looks great on the movie screen, but the greatest wall that they ever saw fall in Jericho was not one they could see with their eyes, but it was one that happened in the spirit when God said, listen up, Israel, no more just enough. You just broke through the wall of lack. You just broke through the wall of slavery. You just broke through the wall of not enough. Of just enough to more than enough. Pastor Becky, if you'll come. Can I encourage you to dream big, speak big vision in big faith, and I want you to start saying tomorrow about this time. I read a quote from Elon Musk. Elon is not a believer from what I can tell by his fruit. I am a fruit inspector. But he does have an unbelievably high IQ. When it comes to business acumen, just personal life setting, goal setting, he says a lot of great things. This is what he said. He said, if you give yourself a timed goal, that in the next 3 months, I'm going to get my garage clean. You know how long it's going to take you? 3 months. Maybe. Thank you. But if you get up on Saturday morning at 9 a.m. and say, I'm going to get this garage clean in the next 3 hours, whatever you put out there is now what you're going to live by. So some of us are already saying, well, by 2022, I'm going to be out of debt. By September, I plan on this happening or this happening. Can I tell you to just talk to God? Don't put a timetable on it and just start speaking big faith, talking big faith, walking big faith, busting through walls, tearing down strongholds, casting imaginations down, taking captive every thought. Why? Because you're going to end up putting a time limit on God, and God is saying, I wanted to do that on June 14th, but you said by December 31st, so now it's going to take you 6.5 months to do something I wanted to get done in 6.5 hours. Can I encourage you? You say, well, I need more anointing. You've got just enough to break through whatever's in front of you. It's not your power, it's His power. It's not willpower, it's His power. It's not your want-to, it's His breakthrough. When you open your eyes, open your mouth, put feet to your faith, walls break down. Stand on your feet. I'm guilty. Guilty of the time game. Guilty of saying, God, December 31st, I'm going to be this. And I'm not against setting lofty goals. But I also don't want to get tied to those lofty goals in my mind. 30-year mortgage doesn't have to be a 30-year mortgage. Well, it's going to take me about 6 months of quit smoking and wearing that patch. It could. But chances are you're going to get so consumed with wanting a cigarette, you're going to roll that patch up and smoke. Or you could just say, you know what, today, God. There's a man sitting right here in this room today. His testimony is, he said, I had to go in for a medical procedure, and they said, are you a smoker? I said, yes. They said, you can't smoke for 24 hours before the procedure. You can't smoke for 24 hours after the procedure. He said, 48 hours. He said, I've been wanting to quit smoking. And he said, right when they told me that, God said, now's the time. I think it's been 7 weeks he quit smoking. He said, Pastor, 2 packs a day, $7 a pack, $14 a day, that's $98 a week, that's $400 a month, that's $5,200 a year. He said, look at all the money I'm saving. I said, not only the money you're saving, look at your health. Your health is changing. The people around you now hear your testimony. You can change. He said, this day, no more manna. No more. No more handouts. Ooh, that one's tight. He wasn't against handouts, but he said handouts are for this season. Possession and overflow are in this season. I'm going to give you enough, listen, church, to get you there. But when you get there, you now have more than enough. Can I encourage you? Walls are breaking. Walls are breaking. Not this time next year. Walls are breaking today. Faith is enlarged today. If this has meant anything to you, God's speaking to you. God's pulling on your heart. God's pulling you by the shoulder and saying, hey, you, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you right now. Let's break some walls down today. There's walls built up in marriage.